What's the nature of your emergency?
Welcome back to the Tactical Living Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Walton, joined by Sergeant Walton. Glenn, how are you?
I'm good.
I remember reading a study where it said that over 80% of first responders report experiencing some type of critical stress on the job, but it also said that less than 20% actually do anything to seek out help because of the stigma, basically, that surrounds making them seem like they're being vulnerable. So I thought that that was something that we could talk about today.
You know, it's really interesting, and as Ashley and I both over the years have gotten more involved in the kind of the mental health and awareness of first responders and how they deal with things, you see this shift happen, and Ashley's 100% involved with that all the time in seeing that and seeing how far behind the curve so many agencies are. But something that came to light recently, especially within our own department, is there was actually a grant that we just received to provide wellness for officers and an avenue to start providing more support in a different basis to help officers deal with these critical incidents and to push through the stressors indicated by the job. Unfortunately, there's always stressors that we can't always address, meaning as an administration stressor or something like that. But it's good to see that there's avenues coming to light more and more within individual departments to be able to provide services for their team.
That's fantastic. What's coming up for me is like, wow, we went from defund the police to now having to pay for mental health support, which we should have done in the first place. But if you're not already in our Police, Fire, Military, and Families Facebook group, go ahead and join now. I will let you in. And, you know, inside of our group, people are proud to showcase their vulnerability. The reason for that is because we have done a very specific thing when it comes to creating a space where, number one, people are aware, they have the awareness around the fact that this space is created for people to come into to be vulnerable. Number two, we have a no tolerance aspect to our group, right? I've actually never had this issue before, having to tell people to not act a certain way, right? There have been people who have gotten into little catty fights and things like that on their own. I am nobody's mother, except for all of my fur and feather babies. So that's an issue on its own. But 99.9% of our group and activities that take place in there are to be able to showcase the importance and the power that comes with being vulnerable. And I think that that too is very much demonstrated in our group by the way that people talk to each other and also some of the things that they so openly share. I've had this group running, I think, now for 5 or 6 years. I think in this entire time, I've only had one person ever post something anonymously.
Really? That's actually very good because that really highlights the amount of trust that people have within the group.
Yeah. And the reason for that is because everybody knows each other, right? It's a real actual community. And I'm not trying to boast my group. I'm sharing this with the hope of being able to have everyone understand the importance of having community. And community does not necessarily have to be an entire group of people. It does not necessarily have to be something that is remote or in an actual group fashion. Community could mean that you have one single person, you have one single outlet, you have one single space that you feel safe in to be able to unload and to be the person that you are in your most raw capacity.
And what's really cool is you have so many people, whether you like everybody or not within one group, like in that group, like you have little cliques per se, but what it comes down to, if anybody and everybody needed help with anything or just needed support one way or another, everyone comes together to show that support. And it's not only the people that you talk to on a regular basis, it's everybody comes out to show their support.
Yeah, and I'm over the whole break the stigma, break the stigma. Everyone likes to post things about breaking the stigma. And I think we're so far past that. And I think that it has become very much common practice and a common understanding that first responders live in that stigma day in and day out. And they're no longer seeking to break the stigma. They are seeking that community and that understanding more so, right? We already know what the stigma is. So thereafter, I think it's already been broken. And I think that when we accept that and we understand that, then this whole 80-20 study that I remember reading, I don't think that it's something that I am seeing out in the real world. I don't see those statistics in terms of people feeling afraid to express their vulnerability to a certain extent, sure. But to say like, hey, I have a problem and I need help, I think that we are breaking the stigma and we are starting to see those walls crumble down where people are finding those safer spaces to feel comfortable, to be able to have an outlet for themselves so that we can kind of make those statistics a little bit less.
And it's amazing to hear, like, and to think about that whole stigma kind of mindset when it comes down to us and for the realm of first responders is that break the stigma mindset that we're, like you said, the stigma is broken. Now let's keep moving forward and not regress back into a stigma.
Yeah, because the stigma would be like, shit sucks and I don't want to talk about it. But now, because of the way that things have been perpetuated, especially in media with first responders, we already know that shit sucks, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't have to pretend like it doesn't anymore.
Yeah, it's moving forward from it.
Yes. Yeah, so that's where I think that inadvertently there was this natural cycle of the stigma breaking itself. So what do we do with that? Well, there are a lot, you know, I talked about community, and I think community is really the most important thing, not only in these particular professions, but most importantly, because on a human and a primal level, we need that level of community. We need interaction, engagement. We need to feel like we have at least one person. And sometimes it's hard to find that one person. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, it's because you don't want to partner yourself with somebody who is not going to be positive reinforcement for you. If they're just that negative drain, or if they have the same problems you do, it's going to turn into a woe is me type of conversation, to where you find that community support for that one person or five people, whatever it may be for you, and you keep moving forward from it and finding that balance for yourself.
Yeah. And if it's the case with you where you don't want to be confined in a box of psychotherapy modalities, I 100% get it. And there have been some first responders that I have worked with, interviewed, talked to, who have come up with some of the most creative ways to be able to have that vulnerability expressed in an outlet that suits them. And the way that I feel like we could all go about this, regardless of the profession that we are in, is in your life, there is something. There is at least one thing that I know that lights you on fire. It could be woodworking. It could be golfing. It could be playing baseball. It could be brushing your horse like I like to do. It could be cleaning. There are so many things that are available to you in your world, regardless of your status, regardless of how much money you make, regardless of what job you do or your family circumstances, just for you. Think about that one thing that you enjoy that you know belongs to you. And it probably has something to do with a relation to your childhood. And once you have that one thing, that task, that activity, that thing that you know you just really, really like, think about a way that you can incorporate community into that. And I'm not saying that this has to be like you're going out and you're going to try to, you know, spill your guts to somebody. What I'm saying is that use this as a modality to be able to have an outlet for your vulnerability. That means that when you don't, you have this pressure cooker that sort of builds up, builds up, builds up, builds up. But if you have an outlet, especially if it's a creative outlet or one that makes you move, then you're allowed to have a space to be able to let off some of that steam. And if you allow yourself to be more engaged with other people who also like to do that sort of thing, whether it's, you know, going to a meetup once a month, even. I know a gentleman who actually does that. He has a group of individuals who were all in the same mindset. It was a bunch of men that wanted friends, right? Like good friends, not the kind that you go and you meet at the bar. And they get together once a month and they just shoot the shit together. And I thought it was so cool because it's in a very healthy environment around very safe people. And they all, you know, they talk about some things that are going on that aren't like so awesome, or they share their wins with each other. So finding a way that you can have an expressive outlet, and you might not understand it at the time, but it will inadvertently cause this byproduct of being able to have that release valve for the stressors that you have going on in your life. So that's just a suggestion that I have, one that I think that we could all use. So get out there, take action. If you've gotten any value out of today's episode, do us a favor, drop a review, subscribe down below. And as always, know that I'm sending you a long, tight hug from my home to yours.